after the timeout. Holmnett will now try again. A 42-yard field goal out of the hold of Austin Fisher. There's the snap and hold. Kick on the way by Metton. End over end. And it is good!
Six. Marching Murdoch. In motion. He's got the football now. Across the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Iowa State.
This is Down the Pipe and Natty Light.
Welcome, Cyclone fans, to another episode of Down the Pipe and Natty Light. As always, I'm your host, Levi Stevenson. Marchie is out this week, so it is just Cole and I holding down the fort. The all-time leading scorer in Iowa State football history, Cole Netton. How's it going, Cole?
Yeah, it's going pretty good, man. Going pretty good.
You know, and since Marchie was out, we decided, you know, we would get another very special guest for this week. We're going to welcome back on Coach Matt Campbell. just becomes a regular co-host on the show.
That'd be nuts.
Definitely probably not gonna be quite as exciting this week as last week, but got some good stuff. I put a couple put out a question request in our Discord server as well, just to see if anybody had questions. And I'll probably try to start doing that going forward too. Now that the Discord's kind of up and running, it's doing really well now. Let me check how many we've got. We're actually just short of 300 members now, so it's going really well. And every week, probably on Thursday, I'll put a thing out to ask for questions if you guys have any for the podcast. But before we today we're going to talk about we're going to go through Cole and I are each going to go through our five players that on this team that we are really excited to watch in the fall. Since we're already kind of partway into spring football, just kind of talking about a few guys that we've heard about or that we're really excited to see develop this fall. But before we do any of that, we'll say thank you to our sponsors at Estas Bar and Grill and Ames. Been with us for a very long time, and it's always worth stopping by there for Taco Tuesday or Burger Wednesday or their FAC specials on Friday. But obviously the big ticket one that we keep talking about is their taco buffet from 11 to 3 every day. Where it's like, it's all you can eat tacos for, I want to say, hold on, let me pull it up. It's all you can eat tacos for like $7, $8, something like that. Try and remember. I forgot $8. It is $8. Taco bar 11 to 3 every day for $8. All you can eat. Still need to get in there for that.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Great deals. Yeah, it's $2 tacos, $1 chips and salsa, and $1.50 tequila shots for FAC as well. So that's a pretty good deal as well. So head on down to Estas if you're looking for some grub or some drinks. Let's get into it. I want to, you know, just do a kind of a player by player kind of breakdown of who we're looking forward to this fall. So Cole, who's your number one guy that you're looking forward to this fall?
Oh man. Number one
or five. Start with number five.
Well, I chose five, and I don't think they're in any specific order. I'm going to go. You go through them. Tariq Milton is one of them.
Tariq Milton's number five. Tariq is interesting. I think he's, you know, he was hurt a lot last year, and I think he's got a really good chance to break out.
Again, I do too. Season. I think, especially at his size too. I think he'll be a threat that nobody really sees and really has the potential to turn a lot of heads. Ashim Young, I'm really excited for him.
Ashim Young's a good pull. He's quickly kind of rising up a lot of people's favorite player boards, especially Lassie made a couple really big interceptions, making really big hits all over the field. Obviously had the rough break in the Big 12 title game. That was terrible. But then played another good game, played another good game against Oregon. He's a guy in Matt Campbell. We talked to him a little bit about him last week and kind of what he's had to go through to overcome all of his adversity that he's had to deal with off the field. and turn around. And by all accounts, from everything I've heard, has been a model citizen. He's been a great guy, been a great teammate, and he's obviously been a great player. So that's a great kind of comeback story slash, you know, guy overcoming his adversity to become a really good player. And I guess, where do you think his ceiling is for this season and then for his career at Iowa State?
Oh man. What do you mean ceiling?
Like, I guess, what do you see? I mean, you know, we've seen some good players, especially in the secondary at Iowa State. I mean, do you think he's ends up somewhere with a guy like, you know, somewhere like a Steve Paris or something like that, where good player played really well or whatever, and will be known for as a good player for a long time, but doesn't necessarily stand out so much? Is he a guy that, you know, can he be an all-timer? You know, I mean, where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, I definitely think he has the potential to be all-timer for sure. Considering he's only a redshirt sophomore.
Technically, he's a redshirt freshman again.
Oh, that's right.
He was a redshirt freshman last year, and then he's got his year of eligibility. So technically, he's still a redshirt freshman.
Totally forgot about that. Yeah. Okay, redshirt freshman. I mean, he's a playmaker. He's kind of a stud. That being said, I think his ceiling is high, just because I think he has the potential. Now things can happen. And there are some players who don't get better every year, but I definitely think, and from what I've heard, he's a guy who does everything right too. Yeah. And typically a lot of the times those guys continue to excel. And from what I've seen from him now, I see nothing but acceleration from him. And I know, like, my biggest transformation from college was from junior to senior year, as far as just like maturity and strength and all that kind of stuff. So he's got quite a bit to go. But I really think he can be pretty big standout that a lot of people will remember for quite some time.
I agree as well. I think his ceiling is the best defense, maybe, you know, the best safety ever for sure. You know, in the conversation for best defensive player overall, I mean, he's, in my opinion, his potential could put him in that conversation anyways. And there's been some really, really good player, Matt Blair. You know, he's an NFL Hall of Famer. Or is he? Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Played for the Vikings for a long time. NFL legend, Matt Blair. And then you had some other really good, Jake Knott, AJ Klein, Tim Dobbins, you know, Alvin Bowen, lots of really Ellis Hobbs, lots of really, really great players, to play on the defensive side of the ball for the Cyclones. And Ashim Young, in my opinion, like you said, I think he's got a chance to stand near the top or stand maybe above the rest by the time his career is over. He's got a chance to be really, really good.
For sure. Another person I'm kind of excited to watch is honestly Sean Shaw.
Yeah. That's a good
point. I think the dude has not reached his potential.
No,
not yet. The guy is a 6'6", 212 pound. I mean, that is like the absolute ideal frame for a receiver, in my opinion. You know, there's
especially in Matt Campbell's offense.
Faster guys.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, totally. I think he'll have. If they end up using, I think they need to use him more. But if they do end up using him more, I think he's definitely got a chance to really stand out this year. Throw him the high balls, you know, like Chase Allen's 6'7". He's probably got a super high vertical, big built, can battle in there too. I'd like to see a lot more balls thrown to him where he can kind of go up and show his athleticism above the corners he's going against and get some one-on-one balls where he can snag it out of the air. I definitely think he's got the talent for it.
Chase Allen was a guy that I thought if Charlie Kohler wasn't coming back and Chase Allen just slid into a spot, I thought in my opinion that if you gave Chase Allen all of Charlie Kohler's targets and all of his type of production, I mean, I think Chase Allen is every bit as capable of putting up the same numbers as Charlie and maybe even a bit more, because I think he's more athletic than Charlie. I think so. I mean, Chase is every, in my opinion anyways, Chase is every bit of good of a tight end as Charlie is.
Totally. How many is that?
That's four.
That's four. I mean, I wouldn't be lying if I said the kicker position.
Yeah. I mean, it's a worthwhile discussion because, you know, Connor was decent in some spots last year and he struggled in a few spots last year. And And our concerns / our praises for him are well documented. We praise him when he's good, but he's got some very clear limitations, especially as far as power goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. He'll be a senior again. So he's coming back for another year. I think, I think the senior year was, for me, it was, I don't want to say the easiest, but I just felt the most comfortable senior year. Mm-hmm. So coming back for kind of another year. Mm-hmm. I feel like he'll feel like it's been a long, long time and he'll just be incredibly comfortable and incredibly calm and just be able to go out there and kind of feel zero pressure just because he's been there for quite some time, understands the stadium, has been to every stadium and kicked in every different stadium. Mm-hmm. Probably has same snapper holder that I did last year. So I'm excited to just see how he responds and how he goes out there. Cause he's going to have some competition this year too, that I don't think he's had the past couple of years. I don't think he's going to, he definitely won't be doing kickoffs, but as far as field goals go, I think he'll start. I think a big thing for kicking is experience and he's got quite a bit of that. So excited to see how he goes out there and knocks him through this year.
So that was one of the questions that showed up in the Discord. I want to see who asked that so we can give him proper credit. Just goes by JMO. I don't know. don't know who it is, but who do you think do you think Connor Sally finishes the season? And I don't know if you have any sort of clue of what you think as far as the kickoff specialist goes.
I think he'll start the season.
Yeah, I think sure. So too.
That you asked finishing season. I don't know. I don't know if he'll finish the season or not. I think that all depends on how he responds this year. I think if he had a season like he did last year where he was a bit inconsistent, they might throw somebody else out there. But again, experience is pretty key for a kicker. Becoming comfortable in that position and doing it over and over is very, very important. I don't know. Kickoff is tough. It really depends on what you want to do. I would prefer, based on our special teams past couple of years, that we just kick it in the end zone instead of popping it up. So whoever got the biggest leg on that mm-hmm. should be starting and should be kicking it as hard as they can, so no team can return on us.
The first time we get a touchback next year, like if we get a touchback in the opening kickoff against you and I, the crowd is going to go wild. Like it's going to be the most unnecessarily fantastic moment ever.
totally. But I know they're talking about these big leg kickers.
Does that raise a red flag for you when you see like, oh man, this dude's got a big leg. This guy's got a big leg.
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird for me.
Is it like one of those like Jamarcus Russell moments where a dude's got a cannon and he turns out to suck? Like
kind of. And the other thing is, there was a couple kids that I kicked against in camps and stuff who could bomb it. But they get out to the game and they can't practice and stuff and all the stuff you do for ratings and all that kicking wise it's so different than the actual game. Some of the things we used to do is like we'd always find like the balloon ball when we were charting.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd always try and pick that one out instead of some balls suck, some balls don't. Like some balls fly 10, 15 yards further than the other ones. And the other thing is like Jack Trice is not a great stadium to kick in. It's usually pretty windy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can probably maybe get it out of the end zone one end. Sometimes it's crosswind, so you're kind of screwed either way. But, you know, if there is somebody who's got a good leg, put them in there. I never try and get my expectations high on that and just wait till somebody can prove me wrong.
That's just like Marchie always says, just don't fuck up. Like that's like that's a job.
So easy, you know.
it's so simple.
So simple.
All right. So my five guys are watching again in no particular order. We'll start on offense. Xavier Hutchinson. I want to see I want to see how he follows up that first season. Obviously, he was really really good last year. One of the maybe the best receiver in the entire conference. Which is, you know, one of the reasons that he ended up as a first team all conference receiver. I want to see how he follows that up. I want to see what he looks like when there's another receiver. Cause hopefully, like you said, Tariq steps up and mm-hmm. becomes, you know, that second really, really good receiver. We'll see how he backs it up. How does he improve? Cause people have tape on him now. Mm-hmm. So how does he respond to that? How does he improve himself? How does he follow that up? I'm very curious to watch Xavier because if he's really good, if he's as good as he was last year, on top of the offensive line being better, the running game being where it was, Brock improving, mm-hmm. the tight ends being really good again, the offense will be really, really difficult to stop. Next up is give me another play on an offense. I don't want to see a single player, but the offensive line. I want to see what the offensive line looks like. Maybe Trevor Downing is, if you're going to single out a player, see what Trevor Downing looks like. I mean, I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's still the most naturally gifted lineman probably in the room right now, or at least that's in the starting group anyways. And he'll be back. So I want to see what does the offensive line look like after a full offseason with Dave Andrews, with the new strength coach. Because, you know, we saw last year, just having him for one off season for like a half of an off season basically did mm-hmm. wonders. I mean, they were really good last year. The offensive line was
an off season where it was probably the weirdest off season.
Yeah. And they were working out, working out in their backyards. Yeah. I know that they're not just, it's not just go in there and try to max out and just try to put up your best numbers that you possibly can. They're working on flexibility and footwork and things like that, you know, more so maybe than they have in the past. Mm-hmm. And that is something that's welcome. You have to be strong, obviously, but like these guys are all Division I college football players. They're all pretty strong. But being able to move your feet and being able to be flexible, being smart, things like that. I mean, that's where you can really take that next kind of step up on your offensive line. And being able to have an entire off season with Dave Andrews, I think it'll be hugely beneficial to that offensive mm-hmm. line, especially now that Trevor's healthy. And you're getting basically everybody back. I think my next one is going to be on the defensive side of the ball. And I want to see, Anthony Johnson. I'm very excited to see Anthony Johnson because he had a good freshman year and we thought he was going to really break out. Maybe even a couple years ago, we thought he was going to be the breakout and he never really broke out and was kind of inconsistent. And then last year we saw mm-hmm. him take that step forward, and really, push himself up to being a very, very good corner. He went toe to toe with, Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State. And no matter what any Oklahoma State fans tells you with that one play where Tylan like pushed him off to the side or threw him down or whatever it was, I don't remember even anymore. That was not Tylan, that wasn't Tylan showing Anthony Johnson what was up. That was Tylan being pissed off because he got absolutely clamped by Anthony Johnson that whole game. He was pissed. That's what it was. It wasn't him showing him who's boss. And I don't care what any Oklahoma
those
State.
The best, dude.
I don't know. I don't those know. Yeah. And the funny thing is too, is like, you would like, generally speaking, I perceive Matt Campbell and his teams to be kind of the shut up and do your thing. Like not too much on field talking type of thing. But if there's one if there's one position on the field, you're okay with them talking, it's corner. You know, getting in the receiver's head. And very clearly, Anthony Johnson was not only locking him down, you know, during between whistles, but he, you know, he was jabbering. You could tell he was getting under Tylan Wallace's skin. I love it, man. And I want to see him take that next step and be a lockdown corner like Brian Peavy was. Guy. Cause he's bigger, taller, faster than Brian Peavy was. His ceiling is higher than Brian Peavy's was. So he's got he's got lots of ability, and I want him to become, you know, Anthony Johnson Island. That's right. I want him to be, that's right. That's what I want him to become. And I think he's got the ability to do it. And if you saw that video, I don't know if you saw the video of him a couple weeks ago they've been doing videos with different players on, like, I think it's like Why I'm a Cyclone or something like that. But this dude shows up, that dude is ripped. Like he's like I don't know what his playing weight is now, but I think like he came sculpture in like 185, but I bet he's rocking like 205 or 210 right now. I mean, the dude, man, that dude is ripped. Ah, man, he looks good. And you know, it's part of that is definitely falls back on that new strength coach, Dave Andrews. And the effect that he's had, and Matt Campbell we talked about last week with Matt Campbell and just had the impact that he's had, and a bigger, stronger, faster Anthony Johnson, that there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. Next guy I'd like to see, it's funny cause there's so many people returning that, and there are like so many of them that are rock solid that you're not. My next one is going to be the other corner. Is it going to be Tavon Kyle or is it Detrone Young? It's one of those two, because someone needs to step up and be that second corner. They've both shown flashes of being really good, and they've both gotten absolutely toasted sometimes. Like I can't even count the number of times I've seen Detrone Young get roasted down the field, which is funny because his nickname, because Marchie calls him Speedy and stuff like that. Like that's like it's his nickname or whatever. And I'm thinking, I don't know. This guy keeps getting run past downfield. And I don't, It may be like just running around speed, but pad speed. I don't know. But one of those guys needs to step up and be the second corner. Mm-hmm. Period. I mean, they've got to step up. Because if Iowa State can get to the point where they have two lockdown corners, like they did in Brian Peavy's senior season in 2018, it was him and Anthony Johnson. When Anthony Johnson had a really good freshman season, and we've seen that when Iowa State has two good lockdown corners, it's really difficult to find space to throw the ball.
Especially in the Big 12.
Oh, for sure.
Importante.
That second corner needs to step up. Right, whether it's Detrone Young or Tavon Kyle or TJ Tampa, whoever it is, someone's got to step up and be that second corner. And they really need to lock that thing down. Another guy that I'd like to see this feels probably like a gimme, but I'm going to say, but my last one's going to be Brock. It's kind of funny cause Brock is Brock. He's all time leading everything at Iowa State. You know, he's Brock. But what we need to see, what I'm looking to see is what does he look like early on? Last year, Louisiana was not a good game. It was really, really ugly. He was really bad against Louisiana. He was okay against TCU, but had the worst turnover I've ever seen in my entire life. He was very pedestrian against Oklahoma, and kind of really struggled and kind of was either, you know, bad to mediocre through the first, you know, half of the season at least. And then obviously then totally cratered the first half against Baylor and then became the Brock Purdy we knew he could be from there on. Then he just lit the world on fire.
We haven't seen Brock carry an entire season the way he can.
Right. 100%.
And yeah, if he doesn't have those games, and obviously people are going to have tough times, people make mistakes, obviously, but when if he can turn it on from game one, and be the Brock that we know.
If he can be
for the entire season.
Yeah.
Oh,
if he can be Baylor through West Virginia, Brock, the yeah. whole season, he's a fringe Heisman contender. Iowa State's probably an 11 win football team or better.
Yep. That's very scary.
I mean, when Brock's on, Brock's on, and there's almost mm-hmm. nobody you'd rather have. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if like when Brock's on and someone's like, I'll give you a chance right now. You can trade him for Spencer Rattler. I mean, I'd probably take yeah. Brock. also, because Spencer Rattler is kind of a douche, but that's just my observation. But anyway, so Brock, I need to see Baylor. You know, second half of Baylor through West Virginia. I need to see that Brock for a whole yep. season. I need him to yep. be somewhere between fine and really, really good. Somewhere between good enough and elite. He needs to be somewhere in there all the time. Good enough needs to be the bottom. He doesn't have to be perfect all the time. He can do what he did against Kansas State, where he was just pretty good. I'll look up his stat line right now. But he was, you know, generally he's just good. He took care of the ball. Didn't need to do anything mm-hmm. particularly amazing. Mm-hmm. Didn't need to do anything particularly amazing because the running game was doing so well. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. I'm pulling up his stat line. So against Kansas State, he was 20 of 27 for two. I guess he had two interceptions. He had two interceptions against Kansas State. Oh, no, wait, no, that was 2 years ago. Never mind. Kansas State, 16 of 20 for three touchdowns and no picks. I mean, that's actually a really, really good game. Say Texas. Texas, he was 25 of 36. He had 312 yards yeah. and one touchdown, nine carries for 19 yards. Somewhere in there. Perfect. If he's right around that 70% completion mark, totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man, if you just look between Kansas State and West Virginia, the guy was 36 of 43 for, let me see, I'm just doing quick math in my head. 36 of 43 for 483 yards and six touchdowns with no interceptions. That's pretty good.
That's yeah.
But he isn't even Oregon, 20 of 29 for 156 yards and a touchdown. Totally fine.
Yep.
And that's fine. Yep. He doesn't need to pass for 300 yards for Iowa State to win football games. Doesn't at all.
Not at all. We have such a well-rounded team that is not a concern.
Right. So be efficient, take care of the football, do a good job in the running game like he did against Oregon. Nine carries for 39 mm-hmm. yards. Did a great job. Took care of the ball. He was a game manager. Yeah, but basically that's the best way to describe it is I want his floor to be game manager. I want his floor to be mm-hmm. Alex Smith, and I want his ceiling to be Pat Mahomes. That's what I want.
Love it. Love it.
I mean, I'm not saying he can be Pat Mahomes because he doesn't have that kind of arm. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying though. Like I want somewhere yep. between game manager totally. And dude that takes over the game.
Yep.
That's where I want him to be. I don't want him to bottom out to Jay Cutler. I just don't bottom out. You're somewhere between game manager and really, really good. That's where I want Brock to be. I want consistency. Now the nice thing is that even, you know, the bad games, the bad moments, you know, Brock's going to come back. He's going to come back and he's going to do what you want. It may take a couple more interceptions for him to get there, but he's going to get there and he's going to play well at some point. So that's the great part is, you know, that even when things aren't going right, you know, he's going to recover and come back. But that's what I need to see. I need to see Brock. I need to see good Brock for a whole season. And if we do, the ceiling on this team is very, very high. Like fringe playoff. Legit playoff contender. It's funny because I keep seeing like some articles about like potential like Cinderella's foot, you know, playoff contenders and stuff like that. And we're mentioned in a few of them and stuff like that. And it's like, mm-hmm. but you know, if you start in the top 10, are you really a Cinderella? If you're number eight to begin the season, like I think Iowa State might be like somewhere 8 to 10. If Iowa State is number eight to start the football season, does it count as them being a dark horse?
Well, that's the stigma behind Iowa State that we need to get rid of.
Right. Like why, like if Texas was number eight if Oklahoma started the season at number eight, they wouldn't be a dark horse playoff contender. No. They would just be a playoff contender.
Yeah. Maybe it's a thing where like Iowa State's never been there.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of thing.
Expectations are different. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a team that we've never seen there that could possibly get there. You know what I'm saying?
So this season, would you rather be a dark horse playoff contender or just a playoff contender? Do you want to have the one season of just being the Cinderella, or do you want to just be, no, we're here. We deserve to be here.
Ooh.
Because being Cinderella is fun.
It is fun. But it's also fun when...
But it's also fun when people expect you to be there. Yeah. Expectations are fun.
Expectations are fun. I'd say Cinderella because, I don't know. I'm not an expectations guy with Iowa State. Just because of the history and
sure
all that stuff. I mean, obviously my expectations as a fan are probably higher than other people's hours, but yeah, I think Dark Horse would be fun, even though we are top 10. Might get some game days this year. We have to start off hot though.
So the problem though is that The first opportunity is to get it at home again for the Seahawks series again. I don't think they'll do that though.
No,
they won't. They won't do it again. But then Oklahoma's on the road, so your other options at home. Your other options at home are going to be like Oklahoma State or Texas. Ooh. But I don't. Yeah. I think Oklahoma State's going to take a step back. So I don't see that as being a realistic option.
Fair. I didn't even look at the schedule.
And Texas is at home, but I don't. I mean, I don't see that being a game day option.
Right.
TCU, I suppose, maybe at the very end of the season, when, you know, because the SEC will be playing their last like FCS game, like when they play that weird, like terrible, their cupcake week in like week 14. That's basically when we play TCU. And if TCU is really good and we're basically playing, you know, basically playing for a spot in the title game, or somebody's playing for a spot in the title game.
Right.
Then maybe I would guess that's probably the best shot. In my opinion, as far as home game days, I think it's a very realistic shot. If Iowa State and Oklahoma are both undefeated going into that game in Norman, it wouldn't shock me at all if game day ends up there.
That'd be sweet.
But if they do, they're not going to TCU. Obviously they're not going to cover two Iowa State games in a row. But if it doesn't go to Norman and Iowa State comes out of that game 10-1 and say TCU is 9-2 and the winner goes into the title game, then potentially I think you could potentially see game day at home for that one.
It all depends on other games going on too.
It depends on what the SEC schedule looks like and who Iowa State's playing. I mean that's. If Ohio State and the SEC are not busy that weekend, or USC, they seem to like to go to USC for some reason. But if those guys are not full up that weekend, then I think it's certainly possible we could get it for Iowa State TCU. That's probably about it. So those are each of our five players that we're looking forward to watching this season. One other question we did get in the Discord was, oh, there's two. Oh, we have another one. We had another one pop up while we were recording. Wait, three of them?
Hey-o.
Actually, we got a bunch of them. who would win, a cyclone-sized Matt Campbell or 1,000 Matt Campbell-sized cyclones?
Dude, 1,000 Matt Campbell-sized cyclones. That's a lot of cyclones.
I don't know, but it's much just like little swirly wind like at the feet of a tornado. I mean, think how big a tornado is, though.
Yeah, but dude, times that by 1,000.
Right, but
a
Matt Campbell sized tornado is like a little dust devil that you walk through and it's not a problem. Yes, it's 1,000 of them, but
we're not talking about one dust devil.
But how big is a tornado? They're goddamn huge. And Matt Campbell that big. There's no way. A Matt Campbell sized tornado, a cyclone sized Matt Campbell definitely wins that.
What, like,
I mean, think of the scale though. I mean, like, Like, you've seen the movie Twister. Like, you see, like, people are nothing. Like people are grains of sand compared to a tornado.
So are we talking about who would do more destruction to a city, or
who would win in a fight? Like, if a cyclone-sized Matt Campbell was walking down the road, and a thousand Matt Campbell-sized cyclones were coming back at him, what would win?
Oh yeah,
definitely the cyclone-sized Matt Campbell.
Yeah, you're right then. Yeah. I mean, if you got Matt Campbell up to the sky.
Yeah.
You got me. You convinced me.
Are there any inside traditions within the team that you are willing to share?
Inside traditions,
or at least from when you were playing, because you might not be up on any new ones.
Every time we won, we sang the fight song, and sprayed water everywhere. So I did that like maybe 5 times. not that I can think of. Everybody has their own kind of, everybody has their own,
it's more just just like personal ritual kind of thing.
Yep. Everybody.
So what was the weirdest pregame ritual that you saw? Or do you remember any? Man. We've both been out of school for a hot minute. So
dude, it has been a hot minute.
It's been longer for me than you.
maybe somebody's listened to like Taylor Swift or something to pump them up. I don't know. It was pretty generic for everybody. Listening to your music, stay in a corner, whatever.
Sure.
Get ready a certain way.
Gotcha. Okay. I didn't know if there was any like those weird baseball rituals or that they wear like some certain, that they wear like two different socks or something like that.
If there were, nobody said anything and I didn't notice, but I'm sure there were.
Someone's got to have something. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody had to have something like, I have to tie my shoe this certain way, the left shoe with this lace or something like that.
Right.
But other than that, I don't think so. Not that I can remember.
Okay. And then here's a good one that we got that we can kind of both opine on. If you could have anyone on down the pipe who hasn't been on before, who would it be and why? And what questions would you want to ask? So if you had like a dream guest they'd want to have on the show.
It wouldn't fit with down the pipe at all, but I'd love to talk to Elon Musk, man.
I get that. He'd be an interesting one.
Just picking that guy's brain and some of the stuff he does, I would love to just have a conversation with him.
I get that. Yeah.
I just want to know how that guy works, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's so interesting to me that he's so into memes as well. And that just like blows my mind that somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Somebody of his stature is still like into memes. And shit.
Yeah. And somebody came up with a thing where he tracked all of Elon's tweets, and every time he tweeted something bad or weird, he would sell all of his Tesla stock because he knew it would go down, and he would buy it back again after it went down. I for a guy like that who seems obviously, I mean, he's a genius. Hard work and everything, but he seems like he just doesn't care about anything. He just seems like he's the most laid back.
Yeah.
I do what I want type of guy. I don't know. Getting to that guy's head would be interesting for me. I think it'd be fun to have him on the show.
I'll say one of each. So an Iowa State, if it was an Iowa State related one, who would you want?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, probably Dan McCarney.
I was gonna say him. Damn it.
Were you?
I was gonna say Dan McCarney.
I think just because nostalgia a little bit growing up as a Cyclone, that was like the good old days as a kid.
Yeah.
And that's the time 100%. I remembered Iowa State just it being super fun. And he's been to a couple practices too, and I've talked to him, and just a good dude, like him. And then I always Shaggy always shared Dan McCartney stories with him, and he just seems like a really fun dude. So,
oh yeah, man, he seems like a good time.
Yeah.
Well, since you said Dan McCartney, I'm going to say Steel Jantz. I want to get that guy on a podcast.
Dude, I'll tell you this.
The absolute enigma that is Steel Jantz.
If you get Steel Jantz on a podcast, you ain't going to get nothing. That dude never said a word.
Oh, that's right. You would have been on the team with him. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, though. That dude was a specimen. Like, he was just built in the most perfect athletic body.
Huh.
Like, not in a weird way, but
yeah.
He was like thick and muscular, and just the athleticism of that guy was unbelievable.
Huh.
But very, very quiet. Sat next to Jarvis, who also probably, I've heard him probably say 25 words total. Didn't say much.
Yeah.
Was just, he was the type of guy, though. Like, everybody drove over to the practice field across the street and brought mopeds and stuff.
Right.
Before practice, he would sprint out there and he would sprint back to the locker room. The second practice ended, just take off. He was just one of those guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a quiet, weird, but athletic. I don't know, man. I don't even know how to describe him, man. I didn't know him very well because I was a redshirt freshman, and he probably talked to other people, but just watching him from afar, he was a weird dude.
I get that impression. Yeah, I feel like it would
be. Yeah. So
that's why, like, I want to get him on a podcast. So, like, he has to talk. like you can't just go on a podcast and just not say anything. Like,
right.
Like, get him in a position where he's got to talk, or I give him an incentive to talk, something he wants to talk about.
Right. Like, I just want to know what he's doing, honestly.
Yeah. I would like to know what he's up to. Yes. What has he been doing for? I don't even.
I'll give somebody $100 if they can find out.
He's actually on Facebook now.
Oh, he is?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I didn't think he had any social media.
He's on Facebook now. Someone found him, like his actual profile. He doesn't post very much. And his brother Truck is on there. I don't know. I DM'd Truck like 2.5 years ago to see if we could just track him down. He never DM'd me back. So I don't know.
That's hilarious. You should DM him again.
I'll just DM Steel this time. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd
or maybe Steel just like is bitter at Iowa State because he didn't end up the season as he didn't finish the season as a starter or anything.
Oh, that's right.
Wonder if there's any hard feelings about that.
Probably.
Could be. Well, it's funny because you said he was super quiet, but the way he tweeted made it seem like he was like the classic like high school jock guy.
Yeah, no.
Huh.
Not that I got from him, though. But again, it could have been. I'm sure he was a lot closer with the older guys than me.
Sure.
I definitely was not in his group for lifting by any means, not even close.
Was there anyone you played with that was like, oh my God, this guy does not stop talking?
Jeez, not really.
Or just like who was like the most talkative people you can think of?
Oh man.
Like Jaquan.
Talkative. Oh yeah. That's a good example.
Yeah.
Yep. Chris Francis was a talker.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Jeez, I don't know.
Marchie,
yeah, for sure.
Of course, you just blacked out and just forgot you played on the same team with him, so. I remember that conversation. Dude, it was like, you guys were on the, like, yeah, man, we were on the same team. It's like, we were?
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, we're so isolated as kickers in there, it's not even funny. So it is funny, but.
Well, now they got their own room in the new facility, so.
I know. I'm pumped for them.
That's cool.
We had to go in the staff meeting room, which was fine, but.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, Steel Jantz, I'm trying to think of who my non-Iowa State podcast, like guests that I would like to have. Elon Musk is a good one. He'd be fun to pick. He'd be fun to pick his brain.
He'd be fun to pick.
Man, this is a tough one. I don't know. There's so many choices.
I know.
So, I mean, yeah, because do you go with like an interesting actor or something? I mean, I don't know. To me, actors would be kind of boring. There's not very many actors that I can think of that I'd be like, oh, I want to sit down and have a conversation. Like Paul Rudd, maybe, I guess. You know what? I'm going to say Paul Rudd.
Would be good.
Paul Rudd would be a good one. I'll just use Paul Rudd. That's what I'm just going to say. I'm going to say Paul Rudd would be my ideal, my dream. You know, it's funny, though. He's a
funny dude.
He's a huge Chiefs fan. So he may passively cheer for a Big 12 team, like Kansas or something like that. Nice. I know Eric Stone Street from Modern Family. He's a K-State grad.
Mm.
You know what? No. I want to have for the Iowa State Texas preview, I want Matthew McConaughey on this podcast.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Ugh.
I'm gonna change it. I'm changing it to Matthew McConaughey, and I want him to help preview the Texas game. Just let him go. Just say, hey Matt, how's it going? It's like, and then he just goes off on a tangent for 45 minutes. He's like, all right, well, let's get into the podcast.
Yeah, okay. Was not recording that, just so you know, Matthew.
So yeah, so there you go. I think some good choices there, though. We can get McConaughey and Elon Musk on the same podcast. But that is for another day. So I think we'll wrap it up for this week. I want to thank everybody once again for listening to this episode of Down the Pipe and Natty Light. For Cole and the missing Marchie Murdoch, I'm Levi Stevenson. Everybody have a great rest of your day, great rest of your week. Go Cyclones.